For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
All right, it's the fourth and final hour of the morning show presented by St. Mary's Medical Group. Dave and Logan with you. We do appreciate you joining us. That smart speaker, it's a good thing. Know you got one. Did you get one for Christmas and you didn't know what to do? I'm like, I don't know. Hey, get it going now. Did you get it for a gift? Maybe your son or daughter gave it to you. You're like, I don't know what this is.
Now is the time to pull it out. Ooh, the box,
let
man.
Me tell you. Just set it up to play 960 The Ref, and it'll do it. And it'll sing a song.
No doubt.
It'll also tell a story. All right. Time to jump back to it. And time to bring in our good friend, Georgia golf coach Chris Hack. Hey, Chris. Good morning. How are you today?
Good morning, guys. How are you guys?
Well, we're doing fine. We're actually in two separate studios, but we are we're making it. We're in the same building, but in two studios. Where I guess now, can you go out to? I guess you can go out to the Boyd Center, can't you?
Well, they asked us not to go out there if at all possible. If I need to run out there for something, I can get out there just to grab something here and there so I can work at home. But for the most part, they want everybody to stay away.
You know, it's interesting, and I get it. The UGA golf course is closed. I understand that. But that's the one thing that could almost, you know, be a good thing for right now with this is, like, golf is a sport that you can maintain social distance and still go out and play. So I know a lot of folks are taking advantage of that.
Well, yeah, and especially when the weather gets really nice, yeah, and the sun's beating down on you, it's probably good for you. But then again, I'm not an expert, so I'm looking for any reason to get out of the house.
I hear you. Well, what would you guys be doing right now? Y'all, I don't have your schedule in front of me, but I know y'all would be right in the thick of almost getting ready for the postseason, I guess.
Yeah, we would have finished up the Linger Longer by now, and now we would be looking forward to going to Augusta State's tournament in early April. And then we had one tournament left after that over at Shoal Creek in Birmingham, and then we would be heading down to Sea Island for the SEC Championship at the end of April. So we were getting right into the meat of our schedule and trying to get to where we were going to be peaking right at championship time.
Yeah, it's crazy. It really is. We're talking with Georgia golf coach Chris Hack.
Coach, I know you mentioned the crazy times. Just how abruptly did this thing go down for you guys, and what were the immediate effects of you and your golfers and how you were able to communicate with them? And I know you're still adjusting to that, but just walk us through how that kind of played out.
Well, I think like everybody else, it was kind of a shock, really. It came on so fast. And, you know, I certainly understood, the SEC when they came out and said, hey, we're going to slow everything down until March 31st and see what's going on. But then it just seemed like immediately after that, all of a sudden it was NCAAs were canceled. And I think we were almost one of the first big, governing bodies to cancel everything. But then when you saw the NBA and the NHL and baseball, and then really hit home with me when all of a sudden, after playing the first round of the Players' Championship, they just canceled it and sent everybody home. I think then all of a sudden the reality was, oh my gosh, this really is huge. We don't know what's going on. And then couple that with postponement of the Masters, you kind of went, well, they all know something that we don't know, so this must be a lot worse than we think it is. And I think the initial disappointment and not necessarily anger, but more disappointment maybe subsided a little bit with reality of that, hey, we've got to do what's right and what's vigilant to get everybody in a safe environment.
And if the Masters is getting postponed, you know this thing is real.
Exactly.
Where it's like, oh my gosh, wait a minute.
No, that's what I'm saying is that, you know, you can take all those other things, but when the Masters moves, it, you know, for me, that's Mecca. So it's certainly the thing that got my attention probably more than anything else, and that kind of said it all.
Well, we had Chris Kirk on with us yesterday, and it was good talking to him. Now, he wasn't in the players' field, but what are the guys you talked to? You had several of your guys in that tournament. What were they saying about it, how weird it was to play one round and then just basically be sent home?
Well, they were, you know, a few of them were thinking to themselves, this is going to be really weird rounds 2 through 4 playing with nobody out there, you know?
Yeah.
For a lot of them, it was going to harken back to the old mini tour days, or even
some of them made the college jokes.
The college tournaments where you walk around, the only person watching you is your dad or your mom or your wife. So they thought that was going to be really strange, but they didn't even get that opportunity. So again, I think they just all adhered to what everybody was telling them, and that, hey, this is for our best, and let's go home and get healthy and make sure that we can beat this thing quicker than sitting around for the rest of the year. Let's try to get this thing done in a month or 2 months and be done. So, you know, I think for everybody, it was just kind of a little shock to the system, and now as we're all watching probably way too much TV.
Mm-hmm.
And too many news reports about it, we'd probably be better off if we didn't watch those things.
Tell me about it. I totally agree.
Hey, well, speaking of, because of the information influx, we hear different things all the time. Is golf safe to do right now? Is golf not safe? I guess depending on who you ask or what day you ask it, you'll get different answers. But how do you advise some of your, you know, current student athletes to stay in top form despite not knowing when they're going to be able to compete again, and how are they going about that?
Well, I know that our guys, they're finding ways to play golf, or mm-hmm. they're finding ways to hit balls. You know, they're just, you know, all the guys that we have are all pretty self-motivated, and even I talked to Chris Kirk yesterday, about staying sharp, and he was wanting to, get our track man, because he's got a place at his house where he can actually hit some balls and chart his own progress a little bit to stay sharp. So I know our guys are all back home, and some of those places, they're allowing people to go play golf. Maybe not in Athens, but I know out here at Jennings Mill, I see people out playing quite a bit. I'm not sure about the country club right now, but so some places are, some places aren't. Just depends on, I guess, your situation, but our guys are going to find ways to hit some golf balls and do some things to stay sharp, but there's nothing that prepares you like tournament golf. So they're just, you know, they're probably just biding their time right now and trying to keep from getting bored.
Yeah, as much as anything else, that's for sure. Well, in your roster, I was trying to use the way careers or seasons came to an end. But I wanted to ask you about a couple of your guys, and I guess Spencer Rawson's the first one, and maybe a lot of people don't realize he was going to be playing in the Heritage also this year, so that got wiped out. I don't know if there's any way for him to get something like that back, but what are you hearing on that kind of stuff?
Well, I haven't really heard anything on that, but I would imagine that when things all come back around, you know, Spencer – he may get that opportunity again next year. They may do that for him again. That's going to be up to them. But, you know, I would say that these tournaments are always pretty good of trying to make things right. So my guess would be that even though he's going to miss it this year, next April, you know, barring any issues that are going on, that they would probably give them that shot because they're not going to have another winner of the Players Amateur.
That's true.
To be able to do that with. So,
well, could, do you think it'll end up where Spencer might have the option to come back another year? What, I mean, what are the golf coaches getting together and talking about, and are y'all getting any feedback on what might happen for the spring sports getting basically a mulligan? Hey, there's a golf term for you.
Yeah, the you know, I think they're supposed to be making a decision on that, or I heard or read somewhere where I think those type of decisions are going to be made by the end of March. And I know there are a lot of players like Spencer who are wondering whether or not that is going to actually happen. And once that is decided, if they do give them another year to come back, then they have some decisions that they have to make. And I certainly know that I would welcome, you know, him back and would love to have him back. I mean, why not want a two-time All-American to come back and play another yeah. year? But, you know, in his situation, I know that he's got some more school left, and that would be an even better opportunity then for him to graduate, which is also very important to him.
Yeah, I know. These are just the kind of things. I guess Trevor Phillips is another one in that position as well. And you know, then you know, we were talking earlier about the siblings or people in their own family that weren't the best athlete. And it's kind of funny because I was thinking of Trent and Trevor when we were about to go on the air with you. We had so many people send in examples of who would be considered the best athlete, not just in golf, but just in any sport. I haven't been able to find one that would top Venus Williams. I would say she's probably the best athlete who wasn't the best athlete in her family. But I know there's plenty of examples of that. Hey, even in golf, there's plenty of those examples.
Yeah. Heck, you know, you can even go back to baseball, and you remember the Alou brothers,
yeah.
all three of them.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And then you can throw in Moises, the son.
That's right, exactly.
Because we had somebody bring them up too. So then I was thinking of the Haases, because they had Jay Haas, and then there's the son, Bill Haas, and then
Bill,
and then Bob Golby, who is
the uncle.
And
Jay has a little brother named Jerry,
yeah.
who was a good player, played the PGA Tour, and now is a coach at Wake Forest.
So, yeah, that's quite a family right there. What about Keegan and Pat Bradley? There you go. How about the Bradleys?
yeah, I don't know. Are they cousins
I think
or something? Or
Pat's
aunt,
his
I mean, uncle
aunt or nephew? Cousin, one or the other. They're related somehow.
Yeah, I know that. I know the Byron brothers, Kurt and what was his
Tom?
Name? But both. Tom, yeah, both of those guys played the PGA Tour and were pretty good golfers.
Yep.
You know, I've had I think four sets of brothers play for me.
Oh wow.
I've had the Parrott brothers, and
okay.
Jeremy was you know, SEC Player of the Year. I've had the Hilbert brothers, and of course,
oh yeah,
one of them still coaching, and the other one it was also a good football player as well.
Oh yeah.
I had the Straka twins.
Doing the duty.
And the one that was really the highly recruited one is not playing, and the other one's on the PGA Tour. So
that's how it always works, isn't it, Coach?
Yeah, and then I've got, obviously, the Phillips brothers right now, and the little brother is tearing up the golf world a little bit. So, so having brothers – sometimes, you know, I think what happens when you got brothers, you've got built-in competition on a day-to-day basis when you're little, and they kind of push each other. So I think that those things help.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know maybe there's times when you're having to, you know, not just you, but any coach, and Logan and I were talking about this earlier, about do you take a sibling or do you give a scholarship to a sibling that you might not normally give one to, but because they have another person in the family that you you want to you want to sign down the road. And every coach has been in that position, but I know that those are the kind of things you have to think about, right?
And, well, yeah, depending on how good that other little brother is or that little sister is.
Yeah.
Yeah, because, I would have started a track program if it meant Herschel's sister got a track scholarship.
That's right. Or
the Bailey brothers.
Yep.
You know, those guys were well worth it. And, so depending on the player,
you got to do that for sure. I don't know when was the last time we had you on.
Too long ago.
It's been a while.
Yeah.
Have we had you on since Brendan Todd found his mojo? I can't remember if we talked to you about that, but I wanted to ask you about that. That was one of the top golf stories of 2019 right there.
Yeah, I don't think we've talked since then, but it certainly was. And you know, he's a great inspiration for a lot of our guys. I know that, you know, he was out there practicing, working on his game, you know, for the last couple of years out at our place. And all of a sudden when he started playing well and all of a sudden won and then won again, our guys were all kind of looking around going, wow, this is unbelievable. But it was a great example for all of my guys to see is that, man, this is why you don't give up. This is why you keep working hard, because at any given time it can click in. And they were all so happy for Brendan because they'd seen how hard he'd worked and how much he was out there, you know, playing golf occasionally with those guys. And they were kind of like, well, gosh, this just shows me that I can do this. I can do it. And what a great story. I mean, the guy was just about ready to give it up. But we saw it with Brendan. He kind of went through a little bit of a slump in junior golf after starting off as a really good junior player, 15 or 16, had a little bit of a slump, then rebounded again by his senior year. And then when he came to college, got off to a really good start, and he had a little bit of a slump his junior year, but then bounced back and had a great senior year. And then when he got off onto the tours, again, kind of went through a little slump, and those were kind of caused by swing changes and trying to do, you know, a few new things. But each time he reinvented himself and came back, and this last time he did it, it's really been remarkable to not only see him get that confidence back and do some good things with his golf game, but to also get to the winner's circle two and then almost the third time was really quite a story.
Talking with Georgia golf coach Chris Hack. Plus, I still think his most famous achievement is the back-to-back holes in one at Jennings Mill on two different days.
Yeah.
How do you do that?
Those odds are pretty big.
That is just still, that blows my mind.
I would quit golf after that. I'd be done. It doesn't get any better.
How many do you have a hole in? How many do you have, or do you have any?
Hole in one.
Yeah,
I've got two. I've had two old ones and a double eagle.
Oh, my God. All right, so tell us where.
Hole in one was at Noonan Country Club. The eighth hole was a four iron, my very first one.
Okay.
And then my second one was down at what was at that time Fort Armor, which is now called The Landing.
Yep.
Down at Lake Oconee. I was playing with the team years ago, and
did you have to buy them all drinks? Oh, wait a minute, that's a recruiting violation.
yeah, that was the greatest thing about that is my first one was when I was only like 18, and it was in a tournament, and so I wasn't old enough to buy drinks. And the second one was at Fort Armor with the team. And I wasn't allowed to buy drinks, so both times I was saved by good circumstances.
Coach,
what was the double eagle? I got to hear that one too. Or was it is that what you said? Double eagle or a two on a four?
No, it was a double eagle on a hole down at a golf course called the Gold Mine in Carrollton. I was playing with some fraternity brothers one day, and knocked in a shot on a par five and two, and of course that became a little bit of a fraternity legend story down there for a while, you know, because all those guys were not very good at golf, and so they'd all love that.
Oh, my God, that's awesome.
Coach, as far as the hole-in-ones go, I think having two is a little bit greedy when there's a lot of starving people out there that would like one like myself, so I hope you enjoy having both of them.
You know, it's amazing how rare that is.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I've got guys that have played for me who, I mean, these guys have played so many holes of golf and hit so many balls and are at a level where they're really, really good and still have never made one. And so, you know, the odds – and then you hear about some guy who's made 16 and you want to go, really?
No. Yeah. Then you hear the 70-year-old lady, she never played golf before. She goes out in her first day, first round of golf, and hits a hole-in-one, and that's just when you want to just snap a club over your over your knee.
Well, I always figured the guy that's had, like, 16, he's played a lot by himself.
Yeah, exactly. No one there to quite document it. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Well, I was about to say what's next for you, but I guess you just don't really know, do you, as far as anything other than we know the season's already been canceled. And I guess, you know, how much are you on the road during the summer, you and Coach Douglas, for the junior tournaments and stuff? And I guess that's all up in the air right now, too, isn't it, for recruiting and that kind of thing?
Yeah, right now it's probably the strangest thing is because you just don't even know what to prepare for. You know, right now we don't know if we're even going to be able to go out on the road recruiting. We don't even know if those junior tournaments that we would recruit would be happening. You know, you start thinking about, well, we're going to really gear up and think about next fall because that would be a good starting point that we know what's going to happen, but we just got to hope that it does happen. You know, we've already worked on our schedule for next year, but we got to hope that, you know, these tournaments weren't affected by all this and might not be happening. So it's kind of a big wait and see just to see the effects, because what, you know, I think the thing that has amazed me most or scared me the most is the ripple effect that this has all the way down to, you know, whatever it might be, whether it's, you know, Steve Kolka was telling me the story yesterday about, you know, one of his buddies who cuts grass, who's all of a sudden, you know, he can't cut the grass at this store that, you know, that they're kind of going under, out of business. You know, just the ripple effects of how it affects everybody all the way down the line. So, you know, we might come out of this in a month or 2 months, and the ripple effects affected something to where all of a sudden they go, hey, we're not having that tournament next year, or this sponsor pulled out, we're not having that tournament.
Yeah.
So it's going to make everybody have to figure out what they're going to do, or we're going to scramble. It's not going to be, you know, life as we know it. So I think the unknown is a little bit worrisome in that we just got to kind of wait and see. And then whenever happens, that's going to be the new norm. We just got to adjust to it and adapt to it and get our guys to buy into it.
Well, Chris, it's always great talking to you. Thanks for taking a few minutes. We'll have you on again soon, and we'll deep dive into some other subjects besides golf. We're in that world right now.
Well, I will tell you, I've got a pretty wide open calendar, so anytime you need me, I'm available.
All right, and we'll get your recommendations on good movies or TV shows too.
There you go.
Chris, thank you.
Thanks, Coach.
All right. Thanks, guys.
All right, Georgia golf coach Chris Hack.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger. For the ones who get it done.